The book of Proverbs tonight, just for a few minutes. Book of Proverbs. I believe that everyone needs to read the book of Proverbs at least. It's not that many chapters in here. And I believe that we could read all the chapters in one month, and it's not all that many verses in here either. It's not but 31 chapters, and it really don't take but a chapter a day. But I think it's good for us to read the book of Proverbs at least once a day. We could take that in the mornings, or we could take it at night and just read the verse, because there's a whole lot in the book of Proverbs that can help us in day-to-day life and day-to-day chores that we come up against. It's a time where we can reflect over what we are trying to do and the way that we should do it. But here it says in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, it says, "Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and saith unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, let my commandments keep my commandments and live." Cold weather's working on me. It gives me dry lips and a dry mouth. But I believe it would help us as born again children of God. And it'll help us in our, like I said earlier, in our day-to-day walk with the Lord, in our daily walk, and with us, even with the struggles that we come up against and we're going to face during the day. But we need to go to the Lord and pray at this time. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God. It's so precious to us. And Father, we thank you for the precious word that we could just read it and expound upon it. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may touch me tonight. And Father, that you may speak through these lips of clay and speak to these people. And Father, we just ask God that you just make yourself known among us tonight. And Lord, you're always welcome here, Father, in the church, at Faith Baptist Church, Father. You're always welcome. We don't want to never leave you out of the services, Father, because if we do, we're going to shut the doors and go on home, because if you're not here in the services, there's nothing going to happen. And we know, Lord Jesus, that everything is possible when we serve you and when we do it your way. And God, we just want to thank you and we want to love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Back over here in Proverbs chapter 7, Can you find it now? Yeah, verse 18 of chapter 18. In verse 18 it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Tonight, I just want to think about the word chastisement tonight. You know, the word chastisement's not used that much anymore in the house of God. There's not many preachers that wants to even use the word chastisement, because they know if they do that there is going to be some people that's going to be upset because of the sin that they have committed in their life. And it says over here in chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs, says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. We know that over here in the book of Hebrews, and I believe it is chapter 10. I believe. It may not be. No, it's in chapter 12. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading up there with verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can see right here that is talking about the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses that we have, I believe, is the cloud of witnesses that has gone on, and they are witnessing us today. They are hanging over the banisters of heaven today, and they're looking down on us and seeing what we are doing, seeing if we are going the right way or if we're going the wrong way. And I know that probably Brother Benny Poovey is probably there, over there, and he's looking over the banisters there of heaven, and he's looking down on Faith Baptist Church. He's looking down on each one of us. And not only is he looking down on us, and not only is he praying for us, but the Lord Jesus Christ is also praying for us. And it says, a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And that every weight is the sin that we carry each and every day in our lives. You say, preacher, I don't carry no sin. Well, you better wake up then, because you're carrying sin, because you're carrying around the flesh. And the flesh is nothing but sin. The flesh cannot get saved. Only the inner man can get saved. The spiritual man is the only one that could get saved. The fleshly man cannot get saved. This flesh right here is hanging on me. It will never get saved, because it's going to drop off. It's going to drop off back to the ground from where it come from. for the dust of the earth, and that's where it's going to go. And but I'll tell you one thing: we need to be witnesses, and we need to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we in John chapter 1, it speaks about also the witnesses there, and we'll see where they in John chapter 1, it says, well, I'll start up at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word, which is none other than what we're holding in our hand. And who is the Word? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Word? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, the Godhead. That is the true Word of God. It's not this book. It's not these words. It's not these pages. It's the living being of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And that is the Godhead that we serve. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Other words, what it's saying right here is the life that we have is through the light that shined on our soul that day when we got saved. Just like I was speaking about Paul this morning, when that shining light come from heaven and shine upon Paul's heart that day, and he saved his soul. And we know also that darkness, cannot comprehend the light of God. The darkness cannot be around where the light is at, because there's someone around is going to take that torch and is going to lift that bloodstained banner up. And when they lift that bloodstained banner up, they are lifting none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the light of this world. He is the only light that we need. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, but all men through him might believe. We have two witnesses right here. It says right here, the same came for a witness, to bear witness. John the Baptist, he came as a witness. He came as a saved individual. Excuse me. John the Baptist, he came. He was saved by the grace of God. He'd already been baptized, but I'll tell you one thing. But he came as a witness. Who was he witnessing to? He was witnessing to all the people that was around him. And who was he witnessing about? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he bare the witness. And that witness was the light that shined through his life, that shined through his heart, that shined through his walk, that shined through his speech, and that shined through him eternally. And that all men through him might believe. And only way people will ever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have someone that's willing to go and be a witness for God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist, he wasn't the light. He didn't carry the light. But I tell you one thing, he was the one that was to bear the witness of that light. And his life showed it. Just like Paul, when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, Paul did not quit then. Paul started right then, and he started serving God. And he started serving the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. And he went through some troublesome times there. He went, and I believe that all of his writings, this is me, I will not argue with anybody, but I believe that all of his writings, all the books that Paul wrote, they was written there in prison. Why? Because God put him there. God put him there in the prison, among the prison walls there. Why? So Paul could get along by himself. Where he could get along and experience what other people was going through. And the Lord Jesus Christ would speak to Paul through the precious Holy Spirit. And Paul would pin down the words. Paul would pin down the words. And as Paul pinned down the words, he said, not me, not for me to increase. I must decrease. Where Jesus Christ, he can increase. And we must increase him at all costs. We must go about telling people about the love of God. And if you're not going about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not doing a witness for him, then don't come up to me and say that you love him, because the only way that you can show your kind of love is that you have to be a witness for him. And we have to be the witness. That's the only way we're going to ever do anything from God. We're going to have to be the witness. And you're going to say, well, preacher, I can't do that. I can't just go up and talk to someone like you can. I can't just all of a sudden meet somebody at Lowe's or the drugstore, at the beauty shop, or at Lowe's or somewhere like that, and I just can't go out and start talking to them and just asking them, do they go to church anywhere? Are they saved? Yes, you can. All you've got to do is just say, Lord, you've got to do it. I can't. That's all you've got to do. I can remember the very first time after I got saved, and it won't long after I got saved, that I had an opportunity that opened up to me. And I was scared to death. And my pastor at that time, he wanted me to go to the hospital and do some visiting for him during my lunch hour. And I told him I would. I told him I would go anytime he asked me to go. And I would go to the hospital. I'd do anything I could to help him. I'll go during my lunch hour after work or whenever. And then he told me on Wednesday night at church, he said, I'm not going to be back until Saturday afternoon. And he says, I got somebody that's going to go in the hospital tomorrow. He's going to have surgery Friday. Would you go up there? Could you go up there this weekend and see him? I said, yes. He said, well, can you go up there maybe Friday and just check on them? I don't know what time they're going to have his surgery. Probably have his surgery in the morning. But can you go up there and check on them at lunchtime? I says, I sure will. I'll do my very best. And I went up there. And when I went, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I done more praying in that 15 minutes than I ever have before. Because where I had to drive to, it took me about 7 minutes to get there. Then I had to walk over there. But as I got there, and I made sure they had already been and took him, and they hadn't. They said it's going to be about 1:30 because the doctor, the surgeon, had got behind. And I walked into his room, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know the man. I didn't know him. He had never been to church. And I just went and started talking to him. And just told him, somebody give me his name and asked me to come up and visit him. He was going to have surgery Friday, but wanted me to come up here and check on my lunch break and on the weekend. And the Lord said, the Lord done it. It wasn't me speaking. The Lord said, do you go to church anywhere? Are you a Christian? He says, no. He says, it's been a long time since I've been in church. But I'm not a Christian. I didn't know what to say. I ain't been saved that long, and I've never went out and done it. Just going visitation with the Sunday school teacher. Well, my Sunday school teacher's on time. I've been out, and he done all the talking then, because he told me just to watch him and learn from him. And I thank God for that, because he taught me some things. And I asked him, I said, would you like to know the Lord? Would you like to be saved today? He said, yes, but I don't know how. I said, it's easy. All you have to do, say, Lord Jesus, I believe in what you've done at Calvary. You shed your blood and you died for me. Would you save my soul? And I said, just repeat them words. And he did. He left a few some out, but he repeated the words. And when he got through, he looked up and he spoke to me. And he had a different tone about his voice. He had a new outlook, a new countenance. And he wasn't worried about the surgery. I said, what just happened to you? I said, what just happened to you? He said, Jesus, save me. And I don't have to live the life that I live no more. I said, you don't have to. I said, but now, if something happens and you trip up, don't think that I messed up. He didn't save me. I says, you're just getting saved. You're going to trip up. The devil has never worked on you before, like he is now. And he's going to work on you harder than he ever has before. You see, him won the victory. You done won the victory. And I prayed with him, and I left that. When I got back to work, and I had 10 minutes left. And I called my pastor's wife. And I asked her, I said, will you be talking to Brother Billy this evening? She said, yeah, he usually calls me. when he's away like this. He'll call me at night after he gets home from work and after he gets back to the motel room. I said, would you ask him to give me a call? She says, I'll see and I'll ask him to give you a call. And I don't know what time he's going to be in. I said, well, it don't make no difference what time. It'll be just ask him to give me a call. And he called. And I was crying. I was just crying up a storm in my study there. And he says, Donnie, what's the matter? What's happened? I said, it's not tears of sadness. It's tears of joy. I said, the individual you asked me to go see today or this weekend, I was supposed to have surgery today. I said, he's going to have surgery, but it's going to be this afternoon. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ saved his soul to save him. Hey. That was the first one. And I'll never forget it. And you know, after that first one, you're just waiting around till you find another one. You won't say, where's the other one at? Where's he at? Where's she at? Where they at? Because you just want to go. I tell you, if you get involved in witnessing, if you get involved in just telling people about Jesus, your day will go so much better. It will go so much better. Life will be so much easier. Now, some people say, well, if I work for Jesus like that, you reckon he would give me this or give me that? No. I said, no. First of all, you've already said right then that you want something in return that you do. I says, Jesus Christ, He didn't want nothing in return in what he done at Calvary. And we shouldn't want anything in return either. I said, because it's nothing here that anybody could ever give me, could make me happier than me taking the Word of God or just praying with someone or witnessing to them and leading them to the Lord. It's nothing I hear no more valuable than an individual's soul. An individual's life. They've got so much value on them. It says in verse 9 of John chapter 1, says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What he's speaking about right here is speaking about the true light that has brought light unto the individual soul, the where they can go, and they go into the world. Says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We can be the light of the world. It could be pitch black outside. But we as Christians, if we were bound together in one accord, in unity, in like faith, and doing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do, we're going to have a smile on our face. And we're going to have a joy and a step. So when we do go out these doors, turn the lights on off here, and we gather together, we're going to have the light. It's going to come through our smile. We can be that light. We don't need to be like a whole lot of people today. Like a whole lot of people tonight at home. Yes, claims to be a Christian. But yet they got their light under a bushel basket. They don't want their light to shine. They want to live in misery. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was there in heaven before all of this had ever existed. And he brought in the world where mankind would have a place to live. But yet, they still don't know him. Even the Jewish people over there in Israel, there's so many of them today that still don't know him. Oh yeah, they call him the Messiah, but they don't know him. Well, how can that be? They over there in the land of promise. They over there in the land where God said, no one will ever touch Israel. No one will ever harm Israel. But see, Israel backed away from God for a long time there. And there was 400 years there where God didn't speak at all. Now, can you imagine the day and time that we're living in? Can you imagine walking around in life and knowing whom God is? And God says to each one of us, and even to the people here in the United States of America, I'm going to take my hand off of you. I'm not going to speak to you again for 10 years. Just 10 years. But back then, it was 400 years. I could not imagine going through life for 10 years and not hearing from God. I could not imagine going through life for 10 years and not having the helping hand of the Comforter. I can't imagine that.
I can't imagine one day walking with our God. But the United States of America, that's where they're at now. I believe God took one hand off of America. And it's not going to be long before God's going to take the other hand off. And when He does, America and all the sin that America and all the sin that the government has committed and made laws by, they are making laws. So people can go out and serve sin. There was a time I can remember that it was against the law to go in and buy alcohol on Sunday. It was against the law to go ahead and do some of the things that they do today. It was against the law. It's not against the law anymore. It's not against the law anymore. This evening, right after we was finishing up with lunch, we saw an automobile come up the road and slow down. And it got right in front of the house, in front of our driveway, right above it, and stopped. And they started backing up. Well, I figured what they're backing up for, because at the back of our house, there was two deer. It was one younger deer, it looked like a doe. Then it was a white one. I mean, pretty snow white. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was larger than the other one. And my daughter said this. She went away. She says, I know the reason they're backing up. Backing up because they won't see a deer, a white deer. But she went away and looked out the front window, and she noticed that they had something in the hand. She didn't know what it was. She didn't know if it was a camera or what, or it was a pistol or what. But did you realize that either that white deer or the brown, the dark brown doe that was out there, or even if it was a buck, if that had shot and killed either one of them, which we're in the city, that's against law to hunt them in the city anyhow, but even in the county, if that had killed one and somebody saw it and they got a hold to it, did you realize the one that done the shooting can get more time than an individual going out here and shooting another individual? They can get up to 5 years without no good behavior, nothing. A boy had a good year. Back in the early 90s,
It happened to him.
He went out and he was coming home one night from work. And it was a bunch of them in a field. So he slowed down and he took his spotlight out and shined out in the field. And he shot one of them. And when he shot it, they caught him. He ended up getting 5 years for that. But yet, you had doctors out here. You had surgeons out here killing unborn babies. And they weren't even getting a slap on the wrist. What's this world come to? I tell you what it's come to. It's come down to the end. Not going to be long.
It's not going to be long. And you can bet your bottom dollar on this. You got a TV at home, if you got a TV channel that can pick up the news. And I know, say, well, I don't like the news because it's always something bad about the news. It's anytime you see the news, there's something bad going on. Well, I'll tell you what. In 2015, I can go home tonight and I can turn on the news and see everything that's happening overseas and everything that's happening right there in Israel today. This right here is just as up to date. Just as much updated as the news is daily. And it's updated today by the second. Because we have the technology and all these gadgets out here that we can. If somebody was in Hong Kong, we can pick up a phone and we can dial the number. And within probably 30 seconds, we can have them on the end of the phone. Why? Because of technology. Some people say, well, it's technology, the internet and all that. That's the devil. No, it ain't either. Mm-mm. Maybe other devil that is typing it in on the keyboard. Did you realize on the computer there's nothing going to come up on that screen unless you push the button? If you don't push the buttons, nothing's coming up. If you don't go ahead and turn it and push the button on the machine for it to turn on, you ain't going to see nothing. And if you want to see some slut and all the filth and everything, you've got to put it in on the keyboard. But if you want to hear something about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to hear something about the gospel, it's like that. You punch it in. It's got good preaching on that. Billy Kelly, he's been dead now going on, I don't know, for 5 or 6 years or something like that. Bayes Jackson, the truck driver special. You can find on the website, on the computer, just punch in Mays Jackson's sermon. Mays Jackson audio sermons.
You got them on that way you can listen to. They're there. And they'll inspire you. Not only just Mays Jackson, you've got D.L. Moody. You've got Billy Sunday. You've got John Knox. You've got some of the greatest. This there for us to listen to. It's where we've got our mind. If we've got our mind in the gutter, then the gutter is what's going to come out of the computer. But if we have our mind on the things of Christ, that's what's going to come out of your computer. And we can grow by it. We can learn by it. There's so many things today that we have.
There should not be no reason at all that where we can't learn a little more than what we've known in the past. Well, preacher, what if I ain't got a computer?
I still got the word. You know the author of it. You know that my daughter bought me a, I don't know what you call it, but that bag this morning. I brought my Bible stuff in this morning. The black
bag, a briefcase, or satchel, what you want to call it. And I got to the house and I got to thinking. And my daughter was, and my wife was gone. They was going to pick us up something for lunch. And I was there at the house, and getting my Bible out of the little briefcase, or what you want to call it. And I got to look at it. I got to think about it. I said, I don't know what kind of it no more than I. So I called Christy on the phone, my daughter. And I told her, I said, well, Christy, I said, I don't want Curtis bag with me anymore tonight, this briefcase or satchel, what you want to call it. She says, why not? She says, don't tell me that. I bought it for you and you're going to carry it. Okay. I don't know. She said, well, why? What's the matter with it? I said, well, I just got to thinking about some times that I've been up and down the road on Sunday or Wednesday night, and I'd see some of the men that go into the Kingdom Hall they in, where the Jehovah's Witnesses are, and that's what they're toting. They're toting the satchel, the briefcases, something like the one I've got, the one like you gave me. And she says, well, if anybody asks you, says, are you Jehovah's Witness? You just tell them, say, well, yes, I know Jehovah, and I do witness for Jehovah, but I'm not no Jehovah's Witness, though. But I do witness for Jehovah, but I also witness for Jesus Christ, and I also witness for the Holy Spirit. I said, well, okay. Oh, she'll come back somewhere, I tell you. She can come back just like that. You put it to her, she come back with it. She'll tell you. You don't get nothing on her. At least I ain't been able to yet. I've been trying, but I ain't done a good job yet so far. I believe sometimes that when they out riding, they just thinking about things to where
He ain't said anything to us about this. We've got to have asphalt.
And they usually do.
But no, we do need to witness more. And I don't know if any of you has felt when I hear and ever done and went up to somebody and just witnessed to them or just start talking to them. And what scripture did you use in the Bible to lead them to the Lord? If you've never done it, and if you would like to do it, if you would really like to do that, I'll tell you what. In it, if y'all want me to, we can have one Wednesday night, and we can have a teaching. So how I think, what I do, I believe is the proper way of going out and talking to somebody. Proper way. Tell them about the Lord and witness the Lord. And if y'all want to do it, y'all just let me know. If you ain't want to, just want to know how you can do it, just let me know, then we'll do it one way tonight. I'm not going to do it on 101. I'll do it to the whole class. Me and Bill will both get involved in it. Oh, man. All right. Well, we've had a good day today. I have. I don't know about y'all, but I've had a wonderful day. And I thank the Lord for it. Our Father, we want to thank you. Most of all, Father, for your love and for your forgiveness and for your mercy. And Father, we now have come to the end of this service. And Father, if there's anything that was said that someone wants to come into the altar and just ask for thy help, Lord Jesus, you just help them that they will come. These altars are always open where people can come and where people can get in touch with you, Father. And I know, Lord Jesus, they can pray right where they are at the pew. I know that. I know you can hear them. But it's just something about individuals just being able to take a stand and come forward. And I believe that's a commitment that they want to make to thee. That they're asking for thy help. Father, we all need your help today in time and where you live. But Father, go with